God is good. Amen. Yeah. If it's not good for you right now, you don't feel God is good for you, it's going to be good after this morning, hey? Yesterday when I was preparing this message, I was sitting at my dining room table and it was absolutely phenomenal. As I was writing this message, I just felt the presence of the Lord draw into the house where I was sitting. And I felt Him come near. I felt Him draw near to me. The heat that I experienced was something that I haven't felt in a long time. That heat that comes from God when He draws near to you. I just started crying uncontrollably while with my hands on the laptop. I was writing what was being downloaded into my spirit. And why did I cry? Well, I was just overwhelmed by the presence of God. I wasn't sad. I was just completely overwhelmed by as God drew near to me. And right then I knew God has an appointment with the people in this room this morning. What He has given me to put down here is specifically for your ears. Hey, I do not believe in coincidence. I believe that the Holy Spirit drives and arranges and moves and shuffles things around to get you to a place to hear His voice, to hear what He has got for you. There's something very special this morning that God wants you to grasp, that He wants you to realize, that He wants you to hear, that He wants to download into your spirit to move you, right? Our God is not a stagnant God. He's always moving. In Genesis, we read, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. He was hovering. He was always moving. Even when there was no life on earth, God was moving. Amen? Do you believe that we serve a powerful, moving God in all circumstances? Hey, and this is what it is this morning. I feel the Spirit moving. And I just say, thank You, Lord. You are so amazing, Father God. We need to involve God in everything we do. I was painting my chicken coop a week ago. Sitting on my porch and I was painting my chicken coop. It was actually like an oil that I'm just to preserve the wood better. And as I was sitting there, I was talking to God about the color. I was saying, this is an amazing color, Lord, that I can perceive this color and the grain of the wood and the way I see it is so phenomenal because when You made me, You thought about that. You thought about how I would perceive this specific color that I'm putting down now. And I was talking to God, involving God in that. And in the moment, as I was talking to God, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, and when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back and take you to Myself. Man, and I just felt the presence and the peace of God. And God says, just like you are readying a place for your chickens to stay safe and secure, I have gone before you to ready a place for you, says the Lord. Jesus says, I've gone and I'm working whilst you think I'm doing nothing, just sitting at the right hand of My Father, you've got it all wrong. He says, I'm working, I'm building actively a place for you right now in heaven. Jesus said to His disciples, that's what He's doing. That's in John 14, verse 3 and 4. He says, I prepare a place for you. He says, and I will come back and I'll take you to Myself. That where I may go, that you may be there also. And to the place I'm going, you know the way. Yes, we do, because we know Jesus, amen, and He's the only way. You know, I grew up in a Christian home with solid, firm spiritual foundation. I remember my mom got up at 5 a.m. every morning and she started praying. She went into we had like a separate sitting room that she used as a prayer room. And she went in there, she turned the music up and she prayed from 5 until 6:30 every morning. So the one morning we hit one of these big hi-fi systems that you had the two speakers. And oh, don't worry about it. They had the big two speakers and you could, she decided because in the day she wants to listen to some music. She took one of these speakers and she moved it outside to the living area of the house and one in her prayer room. But it wasn't a problem because when she goes to prayer, she just shifts the balance of the sound to the speaker that's in her prayer room, right? So all of us, 5 o'clock in the morning, we can still sleep soundly. But one particular morning, Mom forgot. And she turned it way up loud and we all got woken up by this thunderous music as Mom was praying. No one got up. I have four sisters. We're a family of six. No one got up. We all laid in our beds listening to mom pray, listening to that music. No one dared to disturb. No one would go and say, hey, mom, please turn it down, because we could feel the presence of the Lord radiating through that door. She moved heavily in the prophetic. We had a lot of respect for mom. We had respect and reverence for God, first of most. And she was abiding in him, and that's why we had respect for her. And we didn't dare disturb. Why? Why didn't we disturb her that morning? Because she was dwelling with the Almighty God. If you want to, please page with me to Psalm 91 this morning. I'd love for you to go and read it, even if it's on your phone. Take notes this morning, because I believe that God has something that you're going to write down, that you're going to ponder on in the week to come. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place, which means there's a place that's secret, that's hidden, and you can only find it when you dwell with the Almighty, when you dwell with God, when you're putting in some effort. Hey, it's not just going to happen by chance. It's not a hole that you're going to fall into while randomly walking down the road. No, it's effort that's needed to put in to find it. And if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you should remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. This morning, will you dwell with him? I'm asking you this morning, will you dwell with God? Do you want to find his secret place? Do you know do you want to know what that means, what it looks like to be in that place with God? Do you want to be in a fixed and a stable position, right? Covered by the shadow of the Almighty God. That must be phenomenal, right? It says, when you dwell with God and you found the secret place, in verse 2, you will confess, he's my refuge, he's my sanctuary, he's my shelter, my protection, my harbor, and my fortress. My God, on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. In him I rely and trust, not my money, not my brother, not my friends, not my job, not my spouse, not my business. In him I rely and trust, not my own understanding, not my logical mind, not my own abilities, not my own strength. But on him I rely. Can you see a renewal of the mind? Can you see a shift in the spirit happening to the person who dwells with God and finds his secret place? Have you ever looked at someone else that's doing a really good job at serving God, and you think to myself, how does he do that? How does he get there? How does he always remain stable and fixed? Why is he always friendly? I had this question at work from a colleague once. Why are you always so happy? Because God's awesome, brother. That's not a good enough reason. Why are you happy? He hasn't found the secret place. He's not dwelling with God. He has no idea what that could bring to his life. Once you're in a place of confession, you see, because when you dwell with God, you confess, verse 2, you say, man, he's my refuge and my strength and my firm foundation. Once you're in that place where you confess with your mouth, you trust in God, verse 3 and 4 says, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. It's what happens when you see deliverance in your life by God. What happens when you experience the firsthand change and power of the Holy Spirit at work. It's what happens when you see his faithfulness time and time and time again. God is so faithful. I have an endless amount of testimonies that I can share of how God was faithful for our family and faithful to me and faithful to others I know in the faith. When you're in that place where you confess and you dwell with God, you live in His secret place. You are under His covering. You are stable and fixed. Nothing moves you. No matter what happens, no matter what storms of life come, man, it doesn't matter because Jesus has got me. Then we read from verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow or that flies by day, the arrows that evil plots, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death that surprises and lay waste at noonday. No, they won't bother you because you have a firm foundation. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be. Isn't that precious? As you witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels special charge over you to accompany you and defend you and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service to God, it says in the Amplified. These angels will bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Does it say there'll be no trouble for you? No, it doesn't. It says the lion and the adder will still be around, but you're going to trample up on them, right? 1 Peter 5:8 says that be well balanced, be temperate and sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious. For that enemy of yours, the devil, he roams around like a roaring lion, looking whom he can devour. Psalm says you'll trample upon the lion and the scorpion and the serpent, right? You'll trample on those. The devil looks around. He walks around. He prowls around. He says, who can I devour? Who's not dwelling with God? Who's not in His secret place? Because I can pick them off easily. I can send the storms of life to destabilize you, to throw your world into disarray. I can hit you with a bit of depression when you get out of the bed in the morning because you don't know where your joy comes from. Amen. Do you see the renewal of the mind? Do you see the changes that comes about? When I get up in the morning, I know where my joy comes from. I know who is my provider. I don't fear anything or anyone out there. I fear only one, and that's the God Almighty who can destroy my soul. I fear no man who can only take the flesh part away of me. Your mind gets renewed. You think differently about things. You think, man, God is this unending supply of joy. He's this unending supply of protection and covering. And all I need to do is dwell with Him. Isn't that amazing, church? Are you dwelling with God? You want to dwell this morning if you're not there yet this morning? Every good sermon should inspire you to move. If you're not inspired to move this morning, I'm not doing a good job. Psalms talk about plague and calamity. It talks about thousands falling at your side. Trouble will be around us. But we will be the beams of light that stands firm in the midst of all of this. How then do you dwell with God? So this is the part that you want to come to. You're like, okay, well, this all sounds good. How do I do it? I want to do it. Well, it sounds good. I want to do what you say. I want to experience God like you experience God. To dwell is to reside. It's to pitch your tent with Him and abide in Him. You dwell with Him by seeking Him, by studying His word, by praying often, by connecting with other people who is passionate about the word of God. Connect yourself with people who dwells with God. Those stable and firm, fixed people that got their life, you know, in order. That's always, man, it seems like they're just smooth sailing for these people. Connect yourself with those that dwell with God, because they're bound to challenge you and challenge your thinking, challenge things in your life. And when you talk to them about problems, they're going to challenge you. They're going to say, hey, it doesn't sound like you're dwelling with God. Let's pray about it. Let's get closer to God, because I might not have the answer for your storm, but I know that the only way, that the only answer that there is a divine answer, right? I need to get you closer to Jesus, because when I get you closer to Jesus, it's like Peter that stepped out on the water in the raging storm. The storm doesn't matter anymore. When you get closer to Jesus, the storms around us does not matter. They become null and they become void. Look what's going on in your life. Look what is a pestilence. Look at the pests in your life that you feel, man, if I could only be rid of this, they will become null and void and they'll lose all their power the closer you get to God. The closer you get to Jesus, they will mean nothing. You could talk about well-renowned leaders in the church, big guys that, man, when they pray, stuff happens. When they pray, the Holy Spirit moves. You can see the power of God falling when they pray for people. Ask them if there's any stuff going on in their life. Loads. They're just living above it. They're living above it with Jesus. So pray often. Connect with those who dwells with God. Share everything with God. I cannot stress this enough. Open your heart to Him. At work, I often open my heart to God. I talk to Him about what I'm doing. Even the technical stuff. Say, hey God, you know, I don't know if this is going to work if I do this. I studied sound waves. I inspect steel using sound wave. It's an ultrasonic inspection that I do on welds. I discuss with God what I'm doing, whether He responds or not. It doesn't matter. I want Him part. I want Him there in the moment. I say, hey, God, I wonder if I do it this way, whether it will work. Help me here. Guide me. Pray me so I can find the answer. I'm struggling with this specific problem. Involved God. Almost always something, an idea will spring up in my spirit, or somebody would come along and say, hey, what are you doing? Hey, well, actually, I'm struggling with this. Maybe you should try this. I never thought of that. Thank you, God. Set yourself apart for God. Let your life and language honor Him in all ways. Romans 12 verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. It's an act of worship to honor your God with your language, to honor God with the way you present yourself to people, the way you treat others. Paul writes to the church at Romans that it's your rational act of service. Crucify your flesh. Don't give your body what it wants. It's always asking you for stuff. Another lolly, perhaps. Another ice cream. I've already had three. Have another one. The body will always be asking you for stuff that it wants. The flesh is carnal and will always be tripping you up, presenting you with a bunch of desires. Crucify it. Talk to God about what's going on in your body. Say, hey, God, you know, I quit smoking years ago. I was a heavy smoker. I smoked 20 to 30 cigarettes a day. Even more, you know, when you go out, it doubles. I struggled when I had to put those down. For 2 weeks, I had sweaty palms. Whenever I walked around and I smelled, just got a whiff of it, I struggled. I was like, man, that smells good. I want a cigarette. But I shared it with God. I said, God, I'm really tempted to smoke a cigarette right now. I'm really tempted to get in my ute, go to the garage, go to the fuel station and go and buy a pack of smokes. I want to smoke the whole pack at once. That's the way I feel. I shared that with God. You know, God says, I'll never leave you hanging. He says that I'll never send a temptation that you cannot bear. Never. But when you call out to my name, I'll just lift it off of you. Every time I went to God and I said, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm really struggling. Help me, Lord. You can feel that temptation. Just lifts. You're like, thank you, Jesus. He is so, so faithful if you dwell with him. Fast often. Is there stuff going on in your life and you need change? There's stuff where you really love God to change things. Fast for it. Fast might not just be fasting food, guys. Fast social media if it's tripping you up. Fast reading the news if it's making you negative. Fast watching telly if it's stealing your time with God. You can fast an array of things. And by fasting, we crucify our flesh. We say, no, God, this thing is not more important than you. I choose to put you first. It'd be lovely to binge this whole season of Netflix right now, Lord, but I'm choosing to put you first. I'll say, no, I'm not going to do this because it's more important for me to get closer to you. You see, once you dwell with God and you try and seek him and you try and get closer to him, he's going to draw near. The Bible says he won't leave you hanging. He's not going to leave you seeking forever. He's going to meet with you and he's going to draw near to you. And when he draws near to you, you're going to start experiencing the anointing. You're going to start experiencing his power. You're going to start experiencing as he draws near, like I experienced him yesterday afternoon, sitting. The sun wasn't shining on me. I was just sitting right there at the table. And this immense heat just struck my body as God was drawing near to me. It was phenomenal. I wish that for every person sitting here and more. I want to get you closer to God. I want to inspire you to seek him ever more than you are seeking him. Now, at this space, if you're in a space and you're thinking, hey, well, I'm doing a pretty good job, I believe you can do better. I believe you can get closer. I always think about the cherubims up in heaven that Isaiah saws, that they fall down on their feet, they throw their crowns down on the ground and they say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when they come back up and they look at him, they see a little bit more of his character, of his fire, his passion and his zeal. And they're overwhelmed by the God Almighty and they fall down again and they say, holy. And they're doing that every day, every moment, every second, for all eternity, because they can never see enough of him. That's where I want to be. People says heaven's going to be boring. What are we going to do? We're going to be seeing more of God every day. It's going to be amazing. He's building a dwelling place for us. He's building a special place for you. When you get there, he's going to say, hey, I built this for you. You remember when you were struggling with this and with that in your life and you were really going through tough times? I painted this portrait for you. I planted these beautiful flowers to celebrate how you overcame and your victory in that moment. Can you see it? There's more to God than the rational mind can ever understand. When you do all these things and you commit yourself to God, you enter his secret place. It's in there where you receive revelation. It's there where you receive correction from God. It's there where you receive stability, even though the storms might range all around you. It's in that space, that secret place, where we gain the faith to walk on the water with Jesus. It's in that space where we see miracles flow. It's in that space where we meet with God, like Moses did on the mountain. Moses couldn't wait to get back up to the mountain, to be in the presence of God. Oh, what a privilege to be able to have access to God. Thank you, Jesus, that he bridged the divide. Me and you, we have direct access to God now. He reconciled us with God the Father, and through Jesus, we can access him now. It's in the secret place where Moses saw God's expectations from him and from his people. It's in that secret place where he got direction of where to go. Are you feeling, I have no idea where to go, Will? My life is without direction or cause. It's in this place where you get direction. Not everybody is called to stand here and preach. There's a lot of other things that people are called to do. What is that calling, Will? Well, you can link up with a prophet and he might just get a download from God and tell you what you need to do. But I'm telling you, the best place to get it is straight from God. And he's going to send you into a direction where you have fire, where you have passion and zeal. Something that you enjoy, something that you love. That's what he's going to give you to do. It's also going to be challenging. If it's not challenging, it's not God. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. When God asked me to lead this church, I was like, oh, no. No, Lord, I don't want to. In his secret place is my favorite spot. It's where I understand the wonders of God's person more and more. One of the authors in the Bible that I'm very fond of is Paul. He wrote most of our New Testament, right? It's awesome. And to the church at Philippi, he writes this. Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13, if you're going to read this again. Paul says to Philippi, I was made very happy in the Lord that you now have revived your interest in my welfare after such a long time. You were indeed thinking of me. Paul was only human. He was happy that they were thinking of him and inquiring after him. He said, but you had no opportunity to show it because Paul has never visited Philippi. Not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, no. Paul says, for I have learned how to be content. How to be satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted. In whichever state I am. I'm reading from the Amplified. So if there's extra words in there, that's why. Then the version you are reading. Paul says in verse 12, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened or difficult circumstances. I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. He says, whether I'm well fed or whether I'm going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or whether I'm going without and I'm in want, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength to me. Paul has found that secret place with God. He says, even if I'm in want, I am stable and I am fixed. Even if things are not going my way, even if the storms of life are battering me hard, I am stable and I am fixed. I am content. Wow. I'm like, wow, how does he do it? How does he remain happy even when he's hungry, even when he's suffering, even when things are not going the way he thinks it needs to go? Let me tell you how Paul did it. Just earlier in Philippians, he gave them the secret. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may become progressively more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. Back to Psalm 91. Paul was dwelling with God. Nothing else was more important to Paul.